good morning. My name is Janet Galante, and I'm one of the ministers here at First Christian. It's so good to worship together today. I don't know about you, it feels especially beautiful for us to come together during the Christmas season to share in worship together as we remember why we're here, why we gather in the first place. In this season, we've been doing a series over the last few weeks called Introducing, and it's all about how we want to be introduced to who Jesus is. That no matter how well you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, that together we would come before God and be reintroduced to Jesus. Maybe you think you've met Jesus. You know all there is to know. There isn't that much more for you to discover. You think that you've known Jesus pretty well. Or maybe you know what they say about Jesus in the world, but you don't know much more than that. Wherever we are, we hope that throughout this series, we will all take a posture of learning and open our eyes to see who Jesus is, to discover who he is and what this means for us and for our life. I wonder, have you ever felt like you were reintroduced to someone? Like you kind of had to meet them again? I remember the first time that I substitute taught for my mom. My mom's a science teacher, and she asked me to sub in for her one day, teach her classes that day. And it was such a fun experience as I jumped in. I got to learn so much about my mom that day. At school, my mom went by Miss Koz, that's what they called her. It was short for Kozlowski. And all these students came up to me all excited all day saying, "You're Miss Koz's daughter?" They were thrilled. They loved my mom so much. They told me thing after thing that they had experienced with her. All the jokes she told, the way that she taught. They told me how she gave them sodas and candy, and they just had a blast with her. I got to meet her coworkers as well, and they just raved about her. I got to see my mom with fresh eyes that day. I rediscovered a little bit of who she was. You know how it is. Often when you're a kid, you see your parents, and you're like, that's who they are. That's mom. That's what she does, right? That's all there is to her. And as you grow up, you kind of learn, wow, she's actually a person. Imagine that there would be more to her life than just being my mother. And I got to have this experience, and I continue to have this experience of being reintroduced to my mom. And that's exactly what we want to do with Jesus in this series. We want to come before Jesus and see what don't we know yet, what's something we haven't experienced yet. We want to come before God with a willing heart, ready to learn. We don't want to be so used to hearing the Christmas story that we're not ready to learn something new. We don't want to tune it out and stop listening to it. So John kicked us off a few weeks ago, and he talked about how Jesus is a king. And then Ethan told us last week how not only is Jesus a king, he's not any king. He's the king who saves us. He is the king who is with us. And this week, we're going to dive in, and we're going to see how Zechariah introduces us to Jesus. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was known for being the one who prepared the way for Jesus to come. He announced Jesus is coming. He said, "Get ready, Jesus is coming, salvation is on its way." So we're going to see here how John's father, Zechariah, recognizes that the birth of John, his son, was a big deal because it meant that Jesus was on his way. So Zechariah here declares who Jesus is and what this means. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." So we learn so much about Jesus in this passage here. We see first he's the horn of salvation. He's coming to the people to redeem them. He gives salvation from our enemies. He shows mercy, remembers his promises. He rescues us and enables us to serve him without fear. He enables us to live in holiness and righteousness. Jesus is our Savior, just like we talked about last week. The text makes that clear. And it says, like Ethan did, that he has come to his people and redeemed them. He's a Savior who meets us here, who comes here. Jesus meets us where we are. And it lists all these different things that Jesus does the way he saves us. If you look at the text, you see that first, Zechariah is looking backwards. He's speaking about the past a little bit. He's saying Jesus will rescue us from our past. This is what we're saved from. We are delivered from our enemies, all those who hate us. There's mercy shown to our ancestors. There's a covenant remembered. God remembers his promises. Zechariah talks about how these are things we are saved from. How the things that plagued us in the past, that weighed us down, that burdened us, won't do that anymore. These problems are all in the past, and we're saved now. Zechariah says, this is what we are saved from. And I bet we could even add to that list. If you read through the Bible, you'll see there's even more things that we are saved from. We see that we are rescued from bondage and slavery to sin. We all have sin in our lives. Patterns of sin that hold us captive, destructive habits that we just can't seem to break free from. And Jesus gives us a way out. Jesus saves us from our sin. Jesus saves us from a debt that we can't pay. The Bible talks about how we all owe a debt. We owe a debt to one another, a relational debt, when we sin against other people. We owe a debt to God when we sin against God and break that relationship too. And this causes a debt that we can't pay on our own. And Jesus rescues us from that. Jesus saves us from death. The Bible tells us there's more to the story, that death is not the end, that there is so much more, that we are rescued from death. There's more in this life. The Bible paints this beautiful picture of all these things that we are saved from. But if we go back to Zechariah's song, we see that there's more than this. There's this hard turn where Zechariah stops talking about the past and what we're saved from, and he moves on to say that God's work doesn't end there. We're not only saved from things, we're saved for something. Zechariah says, here is what you were saved for. It tells us we are enabled to serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's what you're saved for. That's such an incredible thing that it's bigger than just what you're saved from. You're not just pulled out of the bad things, the things that are in your past. You are saved for something. And this is such a huge piece of salvation that it's so easy for us to forget that we are saved for something. Jesus doesn't just rescue us and leave us around to do whatever we want now. Jesus says, there's a reason you're saved. There's purpose. There's more. We are saved for so many things. We see in the Bible, we're saved for a new life, that we are made in new. We are a new creation. We're saved for healing, for restoration, to be made whole. We're saved for a relationship with God, that we can have a relationship with God through Jesus. We're saved for a new family. We're saved so that we'll be holy, spotless, blameless before God. We are saved for so many things. Salvation is bigger than what we're saved from. It's easy for us to think that we just need to get saved from our sin. Okay, I've taken care of my sin problem, so it's good. God's grace covers that. All right, I can do whatever else I want now. We can get ourselves stuck in this trap of thinking that's what salvation is, that, all right, God's taken care of sin. And God's taken care of death. That's great, too, that we know there's more to the story, that we have our eternity problem taken care of. But that's not all that salvation is. Jesus shows us that there's more. And when we think that that's all salvation is, it limits our experience of salvation. We miss out on what God has for us, and God has more. God has saved you for something. And this whole idea of being saved from something and for something, this is something we actually talk about in our First Things First class. And this is a class we have every few months that's for anyone looking to learn more about God or more about the church. Our next one, it will be in January, but I do want to just make a note that you should save the date if you are wanting to explore this idea a little bit more. If you're interested in that, write First Things First on your connection card later, and we'll get back to you about making sure you're there. Because this is a concept we don't want to miss out on, that we are saved from something, but we're also saved for something, that God has a purpose for us. And that's what we want to highlight in the text today, That the text says we are enabled to serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before all our days. That's what God promises us. That through Jesus, we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. That's the life we can live. That's what God promises us. Through Jesus, we can serve God that way. So what does this mean? How do we do it? What does it look like for us to live this way? How does God enable us to live this life of holiness and righteousness? The text goes on. Zechariah tells us a little bit more. He talks first about how John the Baptist will prepare the way for Jesus, and then he shares what that means for everyone. So Zechariah says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So Zechariah first says, John's going to tell people about salvation. He's preparing people to meet Jesus. He'll tell them they can find salvation in the forgiveness of sins. But what else will happen? Well, we see in that last verse, he says that Jesus will shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Isn't that such a beautiful image to think of being pulled out of the darkness, not for no reason, but that you are put on the path of peace, that you are living in a path of light and life. That's what Jesus has for us. Jesus has a path for us. Jesus has a purpose. When we are introduced to Jesus, we are rescued from paths that go nowhere, paths that go into the darkness, and instead we are invited to be on a path of holiness and righteousness. We are saved so that we might truly live. I wonder, have you ever found yourself thinking, there must be another way? Maybe you found yourself trapped in some pattern that you just can't seem to break in your behavior, where you're hurting a friend of yours over and over again. You keep hurting them with your words, or another sin pattern that you might have. Maybe you're having a struggle at work and it's unethical and you know that you shouldn't be a part of this behavior, but you just can't seem to break free. Maybe you're on the phone with a customer service representative and you're spewing words of hatred, or you're experiencing a clash in your relationships at home. We've all had those moments, haven't we? Where we just feel stuck and trapped and we don't know what to do and we're just wondering, there's gotta be another way. This can't be it. And Jesus says there is another way. That Jesus offers us another path. Because not only does Jesus forgive our sins, but Jesus gives us a meaningful life. We are enabled to serve him without fear. Jesus enables us to live lives of righteousness and holiness. I mean, look at what Zechariah says. He says, we are enabled to serve God without fear. We are enabled to do this in holiness and righteousness for all our days. This promise doesn't expire. We're not just saved from the hands of our enemies. We're not just rescued from the judgment of God, but we are enabled to serve God without fear. We are enabled to be holy, to be righteous before God, and to live in that way. That is what Jesus makes possible for us. Jesus gives us another way. We are guided onto the path of peace. When we're not sure what to do, Jesus gives us direction. That's why we see in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah describes Jesus this way. He says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I want us to pay attention there how he says, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. You know, a counselor is someone who advises us and helps direct our steps. We go to a counselor often when we're stuck and needing to know what's next, needing to know how to move forward. Counselors give us wisdom. They walk through life with us. And this passage is saying that's what Jesus is for us. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He directs our steps. He tells us what's next. He tells us how to move forward. And Jesus makes it possible for us to walk on the path of holiness. So from where you stand today, holiness is possible. So if you're finding yourself today needing direction, you've got to ask yourself, who am I going to? Who am I looking to direct my steps? Who are the primary voices who are shaping my life? Is it certain friends? People who speak into your life and you're listening to their advice? Maybe it's a news source or a podcast, famous people from afar who are directing your steps and shaping your life even though they don't know you. Who are the voices you're listening to, the voices who direct your steps? And what are these voices enabling? Are they leading you to love others more, or are they causing you to fear? Are they causing division and contention? Are they leading you into destructive patterns? Are they causing you to doubt, to worry, or to serve without fear? What are the voices in your life enabling you to? Jesus is the voice we want to listen to, the voice we want to hear. Jesus is the voice that we want to make sure is cutting across all the noise in our lives, that we can hear his voice above every other one. Because if we're going to live lives of holiness and righteousness, then Jesus needs to be the loudest voice we're listening to. Can you think of a time when you've listened to the wrong voice? I remember a few years ago when my husband Michael and I had just moved to Tennessee, and we went to Laurel Falls for the first time. Now, we made the mistake of going there when we were in a little bit of a rush. We had somewhere to be afterwards, so we're there thinking, all right, we got to get back as fast as we can. We really should be on our way. We ran into someone who said, oh, I know a shortcut. You can take this way. This way will get you back to the parking lot faster. And it certainly did. It just turned out it wasn't the right parking lot. So we got back there with plenty of time, but then we needed to figure out, okay, so what's the shortcut to where our car is? We listened to the wrong voice. Have you ever listened to the wrong voice? The wrong voice takes us in the wrong direction. So who are you listening to? When life gets hard, who do you turn to? Who do you go to for direction? Think about it right now. Walk through your week with me a little bit as you think through, okay, when I'm stressed out, who am I picking up the phone and calling? When I'm hitting a puzzle, when I don't know what to do with a decision, who do I reach out to? Or who's speaking into my life, whether or not I want to? Who are the people showing up and chiming in, and how am I following what they say? Is it your best friends? A family member? Coworkers? Is it the news or something else you're listening to, something you're reading? What are the things that are shaping your life right now? All throughout the Bible, we see images of how Jesus is the one we want to listen to. Jesus is our guide. Jesus is the one who directs our steps. In Hebrews, it tells us, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter. We can follow him because he has perfected the way we ought to go. Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." It's not just any path, but it's a path of life. It's a path with joy and eternal pleasure. Psalm 23, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." That sounds like a path I want to be on. Psalm 119, "I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding." When we're following the path of Jesus, it's a good path. It's a path that broadens our understanding. And we're invited to be on that path today. We are saved for a life where we can serve God without fear. And that's what this path is for us, where we can live in holiness and righteousness. And Jesus himself even tells us this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way that we can live this life of service without fear. Jesus makes this possible. So how do we do this? How do we get on this path? We've heard about this path. How do we make sure we are on the path that Jesus has for us? How do we follow it? What's the step we take to get on? Well, we look at how Jesus lived, and we follow it. We watch what Jesus did, how he spoke, how he treated people, and we do what Jesus did. That's what we do. We watch Jesus, we follow him, we go in that direction. If you are wondering how to serve Jesus, how to live in holiness and righteousness, you start by looking at Jesus. See what Jesus is up to, see what Jesus did, see how Jesus taught. You know, in Jesus' day, there were disciples, and disciples would follow rabbis, their teachers. They would follow them as closely as they could, step by step, so they could be a rabbi in training. They could learn to be like that rabbi. Do what he did. Don't waver. Don't take a step in a different direction. Follow your rabbi. As a rabbi in training, the idea was to follow him so closely that you would walk in the dust of his feet. And imagine that you are walking so closely to someone that as they kick up some dirt, you're feeling it. It's getting on you because you aren't missing a step of where that rabbi goes. They walked in the dust of his feet. And that's exactly what we are called to do, to walk in the dust of Jesus' feet, to walk so closely to him that we don't miss a step, that we can see where he's going, that we can follow him. And that's what Jesus is inviting and enabling and making possible for us to do. That it's not done out of our own might, but that Jesus made a way. Jesus made it possible that we can walk so closely to him that we see the steps he takes and we follow it. We go where he goes and we live as he lives. And we still call that today being a disciple. When we talk about being disciples, that's what we mean, that we would follow Jesus, that we would go where he goes and do what he does, that we would go in that direction. A disciple sees where Jesus is going and walks in that direction. A disciple learns from Jesus and follows Jesus. So we shape our lives around who Jesus is, what Jesus did, how he lived. That's what it means to live in paths of holiness and righteousness. We follow his footsteps. So when we talk about discipleship, we're calling each other to follow the path of Jesus, to imitate him, to do what Jesus did. And small groups are a place where we encourage you to be disciples because it's really hard to do this on your own. We encourage all of you that as a disciple that you would get in a small group. This is a place where we can huddle up together and say, I think this is where Jesus is going. Why don't we go there together? Where maybe you could come to your small group and say, I'm really struggling with this decision. I don't really know what to do. And the group might say, well, it looks like Jesus is going that way. That is, you're wrestling with a failed relationship. The group might encourage one another. I think God calls us to forgive. That is, you wrestle with other things in your life, that we would be able to call one another to model Jesus. So if you're not in a group, I really hope you'll consider being in one as we think through how can we be disciples, how can we follow Jesus as closely as possible. Jesus enables us to serve him without fear, to live in holiness and righteousness. And I think we can all agree that we'd like to see a world that has a bit more holiness and righteousness in it, wouldn't we? We look around the world and we can see the brokenness. We're all experts on the brokenness of the world. We've all experienced it. Some of you can even think of the brokenness you've experienced this week. And we know, too, that we have all actually contributed to the brokenness of the world. When we look around, it is so easy for us to realize we would love to see a world that is more holiness and more righteousness. We're looking for a better way that will rescue us from this path. And when we are introduced to Jesus, we're rescued from paths that go nowhere, and we're invited on a path of holiness and righteousness. Jesus makes this possible. When we look at this call to holiness and righteousness throughout the Bible, here's some of what you see. Romans 12, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Jesus makes harmony and unity possible. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister." Jesus makes sexual fidelity possible. Jesus makes it possible for us to have relationships where we're not wronging one another, taking advantage of one another, that we'd have integrity in our relationships. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." Jesus makes patience and forgiveness possible. Philippians 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Jesus makes radical humility possible, and he makes it possible because he did it. He modeled that for us. He set the example. And you know, as I read through all these passages, I just think, I want to live a life like that. I want to live in a world like that. I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. That's the life we want to have. And how is this vision brought about? How do we do this? Well, we're taught that we can take a path of sin, we can stay on the path of darkness, or we can take Jesus' invitation to be on the path of holiness and righteousness. We can take the path of the world, or we can take the path that Jesus wants to guide us on. We can get on that path today. That's what Jesus enables for us. That's what he makes possible. It is because of Jesus and Jesus only that we are able to live like this, to be on this path. Jesus guides us on a path of life and light and love and peace and holiness and righteousness. And next week, we're going to hear from Ethan about how because of this way that Jesus has made for us, we're all called to be evangelists. And I want to make sure you know that when we say that you're called to be an evangelist, when you're called to share this news of Jesus, it's not because we want you to go tell your friends how bad they are or that they've messed up and that they should really change their ways. No, it's so much more than that. We see that we want you to tell them that there is someone who has the power to enable them to live a life without fear, a life of holiness and righteousness. That the world would know that there is another way. There's someone who makes that possible to be on the path of peace. I mean, doesn't that sound incredible? That would be the good news, that Jesus makes this possible, that we can experience a life without fear. The Bible tells us that Jesus does this for us, and we believe that today, that when we are anchored in Jesus and living in holiness, you have nothing to fear. You can truly experience the good news of Jesus. And that good news is this. Jesus is King. He's the one we give our allegiance to. He's the one we shape our lives around. And Jesus is a Savior who is with us. And because of this, Jesus enables us to serve him without fear, to live on paths of holiness and righteousness. Because of Jesus, we can live lives of meaning and purpose. There's more. Jesus has more for us. That's the good news. It's news worth sharing, and it's news worth believing. Do you want a life of meaning and purpose today? Follow Jesus. Do you want a life without fear? Follow Jesus. Do you want to be on the path of peace and life and light? Follow Jesus. We are invited to be on this path today. Will you pray with me? God, we ask today that you would open our eyes to you and to the path you have for us. That we wouldn't be trapped into a view of salvation that's so small to think that all you do is rescue us from something, but that we would see that you too have life for us, that you have holiness and righteousness before us. I ask right now that you would help us see what it looks like to follow you, to take you up on this invitation you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.